Siberia is far more significant than a place on the map. It is a feeling which sticks like a burr, a temperature, the sound of sleepy flakes falling on snowy pillows, and the crunch of uneven footsteps coming from behind. Siberia is a wardrobe problem. Too cold in winter and too hot in summer, with wooden cabins and chimney stacks belching corpse-grey smoke into wide white skies. It is a melancholy, a cinematic romance, dipped in limpid moonshine, unhurried train journeys, pipes wrapped in sackcloth, and a broken swing hanging from a squeaky chain. You can hear Siberia in the big soft chords in Russian music that evoke the hush of silver birch trees and the billowing winter snows. Covering an 11th of the world's landmass, Siberia is bordered by the Arctic Ocean in the north and the Mongolian steppe in the south. The Urals mark Siberia's western edge and the Pacific its eastern rim. It is the ultimate land beyond the rock, as the Urals used to be described, an unwritten register of the missing and the uprooted, an almost country, perceived to be so far from Moscow that when some kind of falling star destroyed a patch of forest twice the size of the Russian capital in the famed Tunguska event of 1908, no one bothered to investigate for 20 years. Before air travel reduced distances, Siberia was too remote for anyone to go and look. In the 17th century, wilderness was therefore ideal for banishing criminals and dissidents when the Tsars first transformed Siberia into the most feared penal colony on Earth. Some exiles had their nostrils split to mark them as outcasts. Others had their tongues removed. One half of their head was shaved to reveal smooth, blue-tinged skin. Among them were ordinary, innocent people, labelled convicts on the European side of the Urals, and unfortunates in Siberia.